there's a positive information around the peace implementation, and there's a negative information around mm-hmm. it. The positive is that in the beginning of the first days or the first month, there were a bit of a delaying tactics from the parties in terms of accelerating the implementation. I feel because I'm speaking on the basis that we issue monthly reports. Every month as an organization, we issue our report and looking into across the country, where is the progress? The progress we have seen is from the second month after the celebration of the peace agreement. We have seen a progress that institutions and mechanisms for the implementation of the agreement, majority of them were established, except one or two, which is specifically the IBC and the TBC, which is much more related with issues of the state, because that South Sudanese are minority and we have majority, specifically the IBC majority, are from African member states. And African member states to nominate their representatives in order to be part and parcel of people who will address the question of the number of states in South Sudan is a technical. So they have to assess who knows South Sudan better, who knows history and all that. That somehow have a bit of drag, but of latest, there's a good progress moving there. If you look at JEMEC website, but the acting chairperson, Joroge, was saying already there's a first meeting of the IBC being conducted. And being part and parcel of delegates of civil society in some of these mechanisms attending meetings, I think in terms of establishment of institutional mechanism, it's been done. But now there's a reluctance in accelerating the mandates of those established mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And this reluctance, I don't know whether it's by design or it's by what, all across the board. And for me, this is really responsibility of the parties that are signatories. Why are they reluctant in accelerating the implementation of the mandates of these established institutions? That's why it is. But I will say in terms of other positive news is the security sector implementation. Actually, people in uniform are more progressive than people in politics. Mm-hmm. People in politics talk too much. They like talking, but they don't like the work of the talking. While people in security a bit, they are walking the walk. Though it is not in a manner that wish the speed to be, but is promising that at least they are walking the talk. There's a joint meetings between the forces of the government and the IO, and even the Afrika level of identifying their own spoilers, because the agreement in chapter 2 of the security agreement have two approach in terms of making the parties and specifically the army obliged to observe the permanent ceasefire and to commit themselves to the transitional security arrangements. The two approaches what? They have self-monitoring approach, and they have oversight approach. CITESAM is an oversight approach, but they have their self-monitoring. There's institution established for self-monitoring. For example, like what? The Joint Defense Board. That's a self-monitoring mechanism. The Joint Military Ceasefire Commission. That's a self-monitoring mechanism. And then you have the Joint Transitional Security Committee. That's a self-monitoring mechanism that they sit on their own as South Sudanese to selfly commit themselves before oversight. So CITESAM is an oversight part of it. So there's a progress there with the people in uniform in comparison to people in politics. People in politics are so calculative. And I think for me, in terms of people in politics, that a bit they are dragging not to move so fast, because each of the party, I don't know whether can I level that, it's only Tigono, which is not split, but the rest of the parties have internal cracks. So people now have to wait themselves, and seats are there waiting for you. You call it 550 seats of MPs, you call it 35 ministries. You know, seats are there, but you have internal cracks. And you start having focus on the internal cracks than those seats, because you need to win a war internally before you go and take over the seats. Mm-hmm. That's some of the factors that are dragging. You have seen what is going on with SOA. You have seen what is going on with other wings of the parties. People keep on breaking from time to time because of that. That's another constraint. But I will say progress is being observed in comparison. If you look at this particular piece implementation to the 2005 implementation, if you compare the period right now, that been covered by the parties on implementing the revitalized agreement, and agreement before it's been revitalized, at least there's a little progress that will be made. But as I said, there's a negative news. The negative news that some part of the country still are experiencing armed violence. You have seen what happened between Kayaye Road. Yeah. And there's a truth of accusation between the government and NAS. And unfortunately, all of them are issuing statements. NAS is saying, we are not part and parcel of the incidents that are happening. We commit ourselves to a permanent ceasefire. You can see Samuel Subba, the spokesperson of NAS, issuing statements on that in various media outlets. And from the government, you can see trade going on that warning is going towards NAS. Please, otherwise, we launch attacks against you because you're attacking civilians. That's what's going on. So I think here, we need to have clarity. The only entity that can give us clarity here is CITESAM. And that's why our appeal is, anybody who have an armed force should allow CITESAM to go to the territory and investigate, including even us. let's sit some, visit the area and verify to us who are done. Because you hear also there's a message of bandage, that there's armed bandage coming out to the streets and attacking civilians. This is an unfortunate situation that's going on. And besides that also, we are 7 days from independence of 2019. We already lost more than 10 plus civilians due to cattle raiding. Until when this cattle raiding will continue, and you are talking peace implementation, you have seen what happened recently in Duke, Pandit. Mm-hmm. We have lost 10 civilians. You've seen what has happened in some parts of Lakes. So you start asking yourself, can we really commit ourselves? And these are all bandages. So for me, these are some of the factors that is affecting the implementation agreement. But I would say, in summary, is that a little progress is being observed in terms of implement. And also, if you look at CITSAM report, they are now more positive than CITSAM reports before in terms of parties committing themselves. And mainly, these are two major players. It's the government and then the IO, that at least CITSAM reports are now becoming more impressive, more progressive compared to the previous in 2015 report of CITSAM. Mm-hmm. So can they continue that spirit? But the reluctance, the political reluctance to accelerate the mandates of the established institutions is what is disturbing us up to now.
All right, great. And of course, we have heard about pockets of clashes in places like Lobonok and Yeo River State. What does this portend on the implementation of the agreement? As you have already mentioned, some of it in Paddock and other parts of the Western Lakes there, where there's cattle raiding there and people have been killed there. So how does it affect the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement?
First, the message, this pattern tell us that some people still believe violence is an option, while we're saying violence is not an option. Violence should not be an option of resolving any political grievances, and that's sending a message. And since there's a section of people who feel violence is an option to resolve political crises or to respond to their livelihood by using violence, then this telling us that still the agreement is facing challenges in certain parts. Not, I don't say the majority of the country, but certain parts of the country are still going to face challenges over this, what I've seen, what is happening in Lobono, what is happening in Luria, what's happening in Yei Road. So those who are behind this violence, our appeal to them is, let us sit on the table. Let us use non-violent. We got our independence because we want to live as first-class citizens. But now, why is it first-class citizens with pockets of violence? Can we stop the violence? Can we sit down and genuinely address our issues? And also, this goes to people who are responsible. Also, let us have the spirit, the culture, that we are committed to dialogue. We are not committed to language of threats. We are not committed to language of accusation. We are not committed to language of undermining. We are not committed to language of hate speech, hostile propaganda. We are committed to the language of dialogue, and we are committed to the language of that. You know, dialogue is the only way it can take us away, without leveling somebody, without nicknaming somebody, or without creating a hate speech or whatever. So we need to have that culture that nonviolence is the best way of resolving our grievances. In any society, there's grievances, by the way. Even the Western, the first class world, they mm-hmm. have their grievances. Yeah. They have grievances. Trump is struggling for tent to be, to for fence to be constructed, government to be shut down. But have they picked up AK-47?
No.
They have not shot AK-47. Why not us here? Why not us adapting the same culture that we address our problems? So my appeal is that the violence that is going on is sending to us a negative messages to certain parts of the communities that we're in. So our appeal is that those who are using violence, can they opt not to use violence? Can they use a non-violent approach? And those who are in responsibility, can they open up their hearts? Can they open up their hearts to dialogue than posting things that will accelerate violence to go further? So for me, that's the responsibility that we need to adapt as South Sudanese at our various capacity.
And what will take to bring the parties that did not sign actually the agreement to be part of the peace process, to bring them in, to join them? What is your take on that?
I think my take is that formally, IGAD still need to continue pursuing those who have not yet come to the table of the peace. IGAD need to pursue them, to come, to allow them to come. And I think Special Envoy have done during the Christmas period, in the December period, meeting other people and reaching out to them that, please guys, let's try to see a better way of resolving problem than subjecting citizens to suffer because of the way how we want to resolve our political grievance. I think that particular process should continue. But informally also, other institutions that can have responsibility should be given obligation to reach out. The only thing that I'm a bit afraid, my brother, and this is message for me, I'm sending out there to South Sudanese, mm-hmm. is that let us have culture of trust and confidence toward ourselves. Accusation will not take us anywhere. If one of us is volunteering to break through between these groups, that particular person shouldn't be leveled that, you know, because he failed and he belonged to that particular side, he deserved to be punished. Let us have the spirit as South Sudanese resolving our own problem. I'm quite sure the South Sudanese were capable to reach out to other parties and build up a culture of let's resolve. Look at people, how do we resolve people under Parita Ban and under the church initiative? So such stages should be promoted and should be encouraged and should be given the full trust and confidence that these are South Sudanese that are committing themselves to resolve our problem. So for me, that's an informal way that South Sudanese, some of us who have the capacity to reach out and who have the capacity to create a dialogue, should be encouraged to continue that spirit. And formally, it got to continue pursuing those who are not part to this agreement, to this agreement. But also, we need to ask our political elites, the culture of rivaling over power and creating more wings to create more political confusion, that those confusion resulted to drilling implementation of the agreement, dragging us not to implement the agreement, they should stop it. Mm-hmm. After all, by the way, if I'm asking people, are we recycling the same name since the history of the political struggle in that South Sudan? Do we have new politicians really? It's the same names, we are recycling them, and it's part of their history, known for splits because of chair. Mm-hmm. What can they offer now to us differently? What can they tell us that those reforms we need to become Democrats? What can they tell us in the history of political that we know? We can write against the name of each political elite, that we know them, that you have caused this crisis in this year, you have caused this crisis in this year, of course. What do they have differently now? And now we're independent. There's no more Jalaba. Who will they accuse?
Mm-hmm.
Can they accuse themselves? Is it a part of their culture? Are they so impressed when they see us citizens confused, not progressing like citizens of other countries? So it's a shame to them,
yeah,
to have this culture of political split throughout.
Yes, and finally, Mr. Edward Yakani, with the issues of clashes, cattle raids, and other pockets of violence still common in the country, what for you could be the game changer for peace in South Sudan?
One, the game changer to the national political crisis, political elites need to change their attitudes. Change their attitudes to attitudes of non-violence, to attitudes of working together and facing themselves without leveling each other, without any hate speech, without any hate propaganda, and sitting maturely as politicians who are matured, who have maturity, politics maturity, sit down on the table and argue within Juba or wherever they can sit without raising any AK-47. That's a game changer. When the political elites pick up that approach, it's very important. And also, the political elites need to leave this game, but we are observing at them carefully. Let them say, not a citizen were ignorant. This game, you fail in the parliament to pursue your interests, you jump into the barracks. You fail to pursue your interests in the barracks, you jump into the parliament. This time, we'll stand strongly. You must decide. You either completely go to the parliament or you either completely go to the barracks. It's only one particular person, commander-in-chief, may have the uniform at the same time political color. But the rest, let them decide. Some of them will be packed in the barracks in uniform 100%, and some are packed in politics 100%. This thing of why you are a brigadier general and you are an MP. You pursue, you want to become a governor in the parliament, you are unable to go, you go and cause chaos in the community in order to remove the other governor. We need to stop this culture. This culture must be stopped. That's a game changer. In terms of the intercommunal conflict, it still comes with political elites.
Mm-hmm.
Some political elites who have discovered that actually they're using intercommunal violence as a tool of demanding political change in power. So you can see so many changes. Look at Lakes. How many governors are supposed to be changed because of cattle raiding? Look at what's devolving in Tonji, what's devolving in Gogoria. People are using violence. What do look at what happened in Jongole. Some people are using violence as a way, some political elites. Though I know that I don't say it's 100% that's the approach. We know that there's approach of bandage. These youth who are armed and who have walked away out of control of rule of law. And the question you have is that those youth, do they manufacture bullets? Where do they get the bullets from?
Mm-hmm.
Do they really manufacture guns? Where are they getting those guns from? Then that takes you back to question, where is the system of our stores in terms of controlling flow of bullets, where bullets are stored? So it means somebody somewhere, there's a little leakage that is happening there. And those people who are leaking, that thing, some of them are leaking for their own benefit. Either they're selling them out or they're doing what. So I think we need to adapt a policy, a national policy or a national strategy. And not these strategies that lie in books. We need strategies that are taken into an action in order to respond to intercommunal. And I appreciate what Philip Aguirre yesterday expressed as a governor of Jongole, that actually the five governors of former Jongole state have agreed to adopt a joint police that will deter cattle raiding and intercommunal conflict. I hope that such strategy is taken, because it's not new. It's not a new call. This call has been made for the last, I will tell you, since 2009, this call has been going on, but nobody have interest to operationalize the interest of the governors. So I'm calling also the central government to so take position that were adapted, like what people are going to have said about Jongole, former governors, Straker said the central government Straker is a priority. Fund it. Put money to it. Than having too many political statements, too many campaign for people to be replaced in their political seats, is translate such suggestion into reality. Let us see if it will help. Let us put police to deter that. And let us put early warning system that we can inform the police. And people like us as civil society, we're good. And we offer. Is that's why, as a SEPO, we have started this campaign around in prevention of intercommunal violence by having awards that are given out. That let us try to do also our work so that we don't only blame and we don't contribute a solution to it. We need to contribute solution to it as civil society. Our aim is that we need to work with the state's governments that where does intercommunal conflict, set up early warning system. That at least if people are moving, for example, I'll tell you, in some communities, there are clear indicators that youth are planning to raid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you, for example, I learned recently, in some part of the state, when you start seeing youth start collecting crystal of water, the empty one,
yeah,
and they start tying them on their shoulders, that is they're storing water because they're going for cattle raiding. Mm-hmm. In some states, like in Kapoita, when you see small young people, youth, start cutting gumboots. You know, these gumboots, they cut, they don't want the downer part, they want the upper part.
Yeah,
to put on their legs to stop grass cutting their legs. That's a very clear indicator that people are planning to go to cattle raiding. In Pibor, when you start youth moving, two or three of them sitting under a tree for the whole day at a far distance in the villages, it means a designing strategy on how to launch a raiding. Or if you see them passing through cattle camps, if a cattle camp, you see strangers passing the cattle camp forth and forth and forth, it means some people are
that's planning. Designed.
That's a planning. So mm-hmm. These are indicators of early warning that we can inform police that something is happening. But that particular police force need to be designed in the way Philip Aguera expressed as a governor of Jongole State, which I appreciate. And my challenge goes back to central government. Can they fund that? And specifically, Ministry of Interior. Than always us having report 10 die, 15 die. Who are these people dying? Some of them are the best leaders of tomorrow. Some mm-hmm. of them are the best doctors of tomorrow. But why should we allow them to die? And we're sitting here, we're making statements. So my appeal is that central government have to respond to the proposal that was raised in Jongole State. And I'm strongly, I'll not keep quiet, I'll make sure we shout on that until some of them responded. And even if it means the highest office of our country, office of His Excellency President, should respond, we will put that pressure. Let them respond. These are national issues, these are South Sudanese. Regardless of what happened, we should not allow them to lose their lives because of cattle raiding.
Thank you. Stop.